making a few notes on the article, and then I tried to cross-reference in the stuff I've been reading, but I think it comes to that later. Because to me, the first thing that it struck me was, you know, what's the purpose of the 3V? It could have many purposes. And one way to tackle that might be for you, first of all, to give me a breakdown of your understanding how it works, of the actual model, the three axes, and what they're about. Okay. With me maybe asking you a few questions if it's not clear.
Okay. The original idea, I think, was born out of a frustration with going to presentations around emerging technologies where people would rah-rah a particular new technology without any real theoretical framework. No discussion of how this compared to any previous technology, just very much about novelty and recency. So part of the thought process was, how would you know whether MSN Messenger was significantly different, or in what way is it significantly different from the advent of the domestic telephone? How would you measure that? How would you evaluate that? And therefore, how could you, very quickly it became about, how could you forecast what the trajectory, social impact of a new technology might be?
Can I just stop you there? Because I made a note on that. Why would you want to do that? Why do you think it's important to be able to do that, forecast the trajectory?
I think there's a sense in which social planners, all aspects of social policy, I mean, I'm concerned primarily with education, but in other disciplines as well, how do you anticipate what the social implications of new technologies are? Because they have huge consequences for social policy. I mean, if we take an example like, if people had anticipated the way in which Facebook, for instance, Facebook and MySpace might have impacted on the way in which youth express themselves and exchange information. A lot of people in dealing with adolescents at risk would have been better prepared. As it is, they're playing catch-up because they hadn't anticipated that one of the impacts of that technology was the ability of its immediacy, and therefore its ability to, if you like, create artificial hype amongst groups of youth around issues like suicide. So, although there might not be direct evidence that MySpace has led to more adolescent suicides, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in social policy terms, to be able to anticipate what an impact of technology might be would help one prepare for it.
So that's one possible value of the framework.
That's where I started, I suppose, thinking in terms of, could you develop something that would look at the relative merits and impact or experience of one technology as against another technology. So that was kind of where, that's the original idea. So you wanted something which was a way of evaluating, and that goes in both in a future sense, evaluating potential impact and evaluating the trajectory, where it's come from relative to other technologies, or indeed itself relative to other social contexts. So very quickly it became obvious, pretty obvious to me, that if you looked, because I went to Kenya in 2006, 2005, and I was quite struck by the ubiquitous of the mobile phone, in sharp contrast to the poverty of networked internet connections. You know, terrible, terrible hardwired internet connections, but everybody had a mobile phone. So there was that whole thing about leapfrogging technologies. You know, one had come in and followed a different implementation track to the West, although all the literature tends to be written from that Western perspective. So I was also interested to say, well, if we looked at the mobile phone and we compared the impact of the mobile phone for adolescents in Kenya versus adolescents in the UK, how would that be different? How does social context affect technology adoption? So that's what the model was trying to do, was essentially create a framework for evaluation, but evaluation not necessarily in a historical sense, also potentially to evaluate impact, predict but I hesitate to use the word predict because I don't see it as a predictive tool. I see it more as informing opinion. I mean, I think you'd have to go somewhere else to look for those kinds of other predictive instruments.
Mm. Okay. So, what about the axes? How do they play out? Why the three, these?
Well, to me, I guess I was most interested in values. So I began thinking more in terms of value disruption. How does it upset the way one thinks about things? How does a new technology change the way? And the classic example is the mobile phone, which I keep coming back to that as a good example. The mobile phone appears anecdotally, and I haven't read any research on this, but it seems that, you know, it's changing the way people feel about privacy, but it also is changing the way people feel perhaps about respect. So our sense of time, our sense of punctuality, you know, when you've got a mobile phone, you can ring someone 5 minutes before you're due to meet them and tell them that you'll be 10 minutes late. When you didn't have a mobile phone, you couldn't do that, so you ran in order not to be late.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that very simple sense, I was interested in what the value impact was of technologies. As you think about it, there's then the issue of what's happening in those virtual spaces. So that the question of how real the technology was, how close to reality it might be, was swirling around. You could almost argue it's not a completely different dimension, but an aspect of that is what we trust and what we don't trust. So the trustworthiness of that mode of communication. If I ring somebody, these days I think I recognise their voice. I trust that. It hasn't occurred to me that I might not actually be talking to the right person because they might be a fantastic impersonator or be using some technology to change their voice. I've actually come to trust that when I pick the phone up and hear somebody's voice, I assume that that's them. There's actually no basis for that other than experience. Whereas actually logging on to Microsoft Messenger for the first time, I can remember being very uncertain who I was talking to, especially because people would pop up who would introduce themselves to you or tell you that they knew you, even if you didn't recognise the email address and didn't recognise the silly name they'd given themselves. So I was interested in those two things are quite close, the virtuality, the degree to which something approximates to a real sensorial experience was one dimension. The other was veracity, which I think is a complement to that, but they go quite closely together. And those two dimensions are really there to inform, if you like, the degree of value disruption. How do you have a conversation with someone about whether their societal values are being disrupted if you can't give them something else to work off? So in a sense, they do kind of neatly go together, but they're not necessarily all equally weighted, I suspect.